Yeah, it really has. And you're talking about that time frame, that that time scale. We're more or less at one of the biggest milestones coming up. That's going to be exciting in a few months' time, April 4th.
Yeah.
Your next step was saving up to send yourself to Autodesk University, because that's just what people do. Go to AU by themselves to really soak it all up. You knew how potentially important that was going to be, attending and educating yourself about BIM as well. So what is it about AU specifically in that event that drew you in?
Well, from 2011, I joined Twitter and I started following many of the UK BIM crew. And this was really my lifeline while I was at university, kind of finishing my studies, making physical models. There was a great community on Twitter and they were sharing all their BIM knowledge, and that was really inspiring to me, and I really wanted to be part of that scene. Followed the activities of AU 2011 and 2012, and it was just mind-blowing. There were all these people and all these classes relating to Revit and people interested in technology and construction, and it sounded too good to be true, to be honest. Once I joined what was then Parsons Brinckerhoff in February 2013, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great to have a job that would send me to Autodesk University? However, at that point, I was working on a rolling 3-month temporary contract as an architectural technician, so that wasn't going to happen. I ended up meeting up with Steve Dedman that summer, and he encouraged me to go, and I'm very glad I followed his advice. Saving the money to go was actually quite easy because I was still spending money like a poor student, i.e., not spending it, but actually I was having a salary that was coming through, so it was actually quite easy. When I told my friends that I'd paid for myself to go to Las Vegas for an Autodesk conference, they had a very mixed reaction, like, only you, Ksenia, only you. But I had an amazing time and I met all the BIM celebrities whom I follow on Twitter and whose blogs I've been reading for a few years. And yeah, it was great to be around people who are interested in similar things to
I actually love how you get the whole BIM celebrities thing, like me. It is true. People think,
me.
oh, no, there isn't. There isn't.
Absolutely.
There definitely is. I want to ask you, actually, while we're sticking on the subject of social media, how important do you think social media is within, the BIM community?
I think it's really important because the issues of BIM affect everybody around the globe, because like the UK has a BIM mandate for this year and other countries are starting to get BIM mandates for 2020 and that sort of thing. And I think social media is really important for sharing our knowledge. So I think traditionally people stick with their teams, they stick within their companies, and we all have to learn the same lessons over and over again. Whereas with social media, you can easily tell everybody that you found this problem and this is how you overcame it, and then the next person doesn't have to go through that whole process again, and we can move much faster as an industry.
The wheel's definitely not being reinvented with along, because of social media, so that's great. Going back to Autodesk, you are an Autodesk approved instructor as well for Revit. How hard is it to become certified in that manner? And I want to ask, if people are listening and think they want to go through a similar path, what is it that they need to do?
Well, I actually became an instructor through what was then Parsons Brinckerhoff. After I'd gone to Autodesk University, I started pushing the BIM agenda internally, suggesting new workflows to the team, getting more involved in new technologies, and proposing them for the teams as well. This kind of goes back to Autodesk University, where I met Rebecca Arsham, who heads up the internal Autodesk approved training center within Parsons Brinckerhoff and now WSP Parsons Brinckerhoff. And she's the one who offered to make my training much more official in capacity. As far as I know, if you're trying to set this up on your own, it's quite complicated. But for me, it was quite easy because it was all done in-house. So I just had to submit a CV detailing my training experience and references from the staff that I trained, who obviously all wrote really lovely things about me. And that was it. The next week, I had started booking classes in my official
Brilliant.
capacity, and it
That's
was
absolutely
very, very
awesome.
straightforward.
How is it that you carry out the training? Do you do just in-house at WSP PB, or is it something that you can do outside of your office hours as well? How does that work?
So I do all the training in-house at WSP Parsons Brinckerhoff. I spend about 60% of my time on projects and about 40% on support and mentoring tasks. And a big chunk of that last year went on these formal training sessions. And I trained over 40 people in offices in the UK, India, Canada, and New York. So there we go.
Brilliant. Now, how has your role expanded your BIM knowledge in addition to your day job, your role as a trainer? Have you learned anything new from training others as opposed to what you would learn on your actual job on projects?
Absolutely. So in my main job, I started out as an architectural technician, so kind of understood the architectural side of Revit and the wider BIM context. As I started to train more groups, I started training structural teams and MEP engineers, bridge technicians, and lately some mining engineers.
Oh.
So during these training sessions, I teach Revit while the trainees end up teaching me about their discipline and the sort of work and the sort of they do and the issues they might come up with on their day-to-day basis. And normally I think we end up communicating outside our discipline in quite a cursory manner, milestones, and we only really get in-depth communication when things go wrong, which is not really the best time to learn. So being a trainer has given me the opportunity to peek inside the workings of the different teams in a neutral setting. So I've gained an appreciation for what the different disciplines do, what their particular challenges are. And I've learned this much faster than if I'd stayed in a purely architectural context.
It sounds like you've had a really, it's best of both worlds, isn't it? You've had all this experience now. And it's good that role, you can see how widely BIM can actually affect the planet. What all these different roles, all these different disciplines. So it's good in that way as well to be able to look and focus on that. I want to touch upon more of your work for WSPPB. Like most BIM-related companies, projects are highly confidential, but I know you have managed and modelled a diverse range of developments. So can you just give me a brief insight into some of those?
So from the architecture team, I started off working on fairly modest-sized schools, which used a fairly simple Revit-only workflow. But what was really interesting is that I got to learn about the managing of the information side. So this was to keep down costs and provide the right data to the client at the right time, which is really what BIM is about at the end of the day. From then, I've been given unusual projects which do require a more innovative use of Revit and other tools. So, for example, bridges and tunnel networks. And these were passed to me to work out kind of how to structure the models to give the required flexibility for design changes, as well as getting the right information out to consultants and the client and that sort of thing. Now these workflows form part of my craft of Revit, which I pass on to the technicians in those disciplines and help them in their job. Over the last few months, I started getting involved in high-rise developments. And this time my role isn't supporting the teams directly, but is to do with identifying potential issues through clash detection, virtual walkthroughs, flagging issues up to the teams and enabling them to proactively work through any issues before the building starts on site. So I know that this isn't new technology, but it's definitely a new area for me, and I'm really looking forward to getting involved at the actual construction phase and handover, as that's the whole reason I wanted to study architecture in the first place.